bringing you the future today. This is Resetting Tomorrow. Tales from the frontiers of science, engineering, technology, and telecom.
Welcome back to another episode of Resetting Tomorrow. I'm your host, Hugo Malan, and today we're exploring the transformative world of AI and automation, with a special focus on how these technologies are reshaping the future of work. Joining us is Graham Sheldon, the Chief Product Officer at UiPath. Graham is a product design and engineering veteran with over two decades of experience, and he previously led the product team for Microsoft Teams, one of Microsoft's fastest growing business applications. Now at UiPath, Graham is spearheading innovations in enterprise automation, helping businesses streamline processes and empower employees to work more creatively and strategically. Today, we'll discuss how UiPath is revolutionizing the workplace with AI-powered automation and how businesses can effectively deploy these technologies to stay ahead of the curve. Plus, we'll delve into the exciting future of agentic AI and its potential to transform industries. So sit back, relax, and get ready to hear all about the cutting edge of technology and its role in the future of work. Graham, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us today.
Hugo, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
But to start with, can you share a little bit about your journey from Microsoft to UiPath and what drew you to this new role?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was at Microsoft for almost 20 years, and my journey has always been working on products that were sort of at the leading edge of AI and productivity, and got a chance to work on Bing and in Dynamics and even some things for Windows before ultimately leading product that from scratch called Microsoft Teams. So I got to see that sort of blossom from nothing to 300 million users. And then I came and joined UiPath about a year and a half ago when I saw the sort of next evolution of AI and these super powerful generative LLM type foundation models, and thought, what better place than UiPath to bring that to life and make it real for a lot of customers. So that's kind of what brought me to UiPath, was that the ambition of that vision that Daniel had and still has around accelerating human achievement, and in particular, as a product maker, bringing the magic of AI and automation together for clients such as Kelly.
Well, we're an enthusiastic consumer of everything that UiPath offers. Can you say a little bit more about UiPath's mission in terms of up-leveling knowledge work and how automation contributes to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think we're really at an inflection point with the ability of technology to match people's expectation of what they really want to work on and feel fulfilled and really productive in what they're able to do. People go and study all of these sort of really great subjects. They want to be a great service production manager, or they want to be a great operations person, or they want to be a lawyer or a doctor. They don't want to have to do a lot of the menial, trivial things that we ask them to do. No one's ever taken a course on, you know, data entry in their education. And so, you know, our mission is really to try to up-level knowledge work, you know, bring the best out of people so that they can really focus on the things that matter. Driving great customer outcomes, creating great employee experiences for HR and, you know, recruiting type professionals, and do that, you know, creative, collaborative, meaningful work that people get fulfilled by. And so what UiPath is doing there specifically is trying to combine the agility and speed of an automation platform with the power of the latest AI and machine learning and natural language processing techniques in a way that makes it really accessible to each and every person so that they can really fulfill what they want to be able to do and to be the best versions of themselves.
So Graham, that's a fascinating mission, that you want folks to be able to focus on their core profession or their craft and remove the menial and less interesting activities. Can you give a few examples of where you've seen that happen, where things were taken off people's plate in a really constructive way?
Yeah, there's lots of examples. The examples are manifest. I'll give you a couple that very recent ones. There's a customer that we worked with that provides medical care. And one of the key functions for the doctors, it's a blood donation, like a plasma donation center. And what they did was they noticed that, you know, their doctors were spending a lot of time going back and forth with the patients, the potential donors, to try to make sure that they were eligible to actually to donate. And there's a lot of questions. There's 80-page long manuals that they try to have to keep in their head, but oftentimes have to reference to be able to say, okay, well, Hugo, what kind of conditions do you have? Like, what medications have you taken? What kind of procedures have you had? And the answer to those questions are not in just one place. It's not a straightforward answer to a lot of them. So a lot of the time was spent on rifling through documents and policies and tables to see how long certain medications were there, and not with the patient, not with the donor, trying to explain to them, you know, the kind of care they would be providing and what they could do. So what they did was that they applied generative AI and they brought in a lot of the context through context grounding, and they built a chat-based interface such that if the doctor was not necessarily clear about what the answer to a question was, they could just ask the agent, autopilot in this case, with UiPath, whether or not, you know, this patient was likely to be eligible, and then brought in the references to the policy documents that, you know, if they wanted to double check, they could do so. And this is one, that's one example. Another good example is in customer care. It's a very common thing for in customer care for you to have a shared inbox with all sorts and manner of questions coming from customers. Hey, can you update my address? Hey, you sent me the wrong product, or I've got an issue with a product, or I've got an account question to ask. And again, it's one of these tedious tasks for someone to have to go sift through that and route it to the right people to get answers to the right questions. And what the customer service agents really want to do is to be able to solve the customer's problem. They won't have to go do the checks to see, you know, hey, is this a customer entitled to, you know, a gold service versus regular service? What kind of products have they bought before? There's a huge knowledge base that they'd have to go search to try to find answers to these questions. With a system like UiPath and with this, again, with generative AI kinds of things, you can, you know, route those incoming emails. You can route them to the right person or to the right people. You can generate potential responses to those kinds of questions. You can use automation to look up the key information to see what products that customer bought or what environment they might be in, to provide recommendations. And then again, come back to the customer service agent to say, yep, that's the right recommendation. Let's go get some more information from the customer. And so it really, and that does a number of interesting things, right? What that means is that the time to react and deal with those issues goes way down. It means the employee experience is much better. The employees are just really focusing on making sure the recommendations are right. And then, of course, for the customer, they get their answers much quicker and much more confidently than they would otherwise. And the same is even true for recruiting. I'll give you one more story of how this has really changed people's lives. Like, so we worked with a customer on a recruiting application. So you can, with generative AI, it does a really good job at helping you think about and edit job descriptions. And we worked on sort of a full agentic workflow that helped you source candidates automatically from LinkedIn, be able to compare resumes to job descriptions, to summarize the strengths and weaknesses for individual candidates. And then for the recruiter standpoint, all they do is they come in the morning and with their first cup of coffee, the bot has come back and suggested, here are your top 10 candidates that might be interested in this. And oh, by the way, here's a draft of a response that you can send on LinkedIn to be able to go and tell them about this particular job role and how their unique qualifications might make them a great candidate. These are personalized to that individual and to the recruiter such that it, you know, sounds like their real authentic voice, but with the recruiter always in control of that conversation so that, you know, when the models don't always make the right decisions, they're in control of making the edits and hitting send.
Well, for me, in my Kelly seat, that is an incredibly compelling example.
And I can imagine how that must improve the satisfaction with their jobs of the recruiters and ultimately lead to better retention and more productivity and all the other positive effects you get from having happier employees.
Spot on.
I've heard you talk about the importance of grounding AI in the specific context. Can you talk more about how clients should think about that?
Yeah, so grounding is one very common technique, but maybe to pop up just a level, there's something special about combining AI and automation. AI is a very powerful set of tools and algorithms, and it's like having a really great brain, right? But having a great brain doesn't matter unless you have a body to go along with it. And in this analogy, the automation system is that body. And what you can do with that is you can bring in the right context and you can take the right set of actions. And so what you've pointed out is one of the pitfalls, one of the dangers of using AI is that it's just not as accurate as it needs to be. It makes mistakes, sometimes very compelling and convincing mistakes. But in order to make it more accurate and potentially make it more relevant to your business or to you as a person and how you work, you need to give it examples. You need to give it the policy documents that that medical provider used that I mentioned before in the example, or the knowledge base that the customer care people would use to answer the customer's questions, or perhaps some examples for how recruiters have successfully written their first note to an introductory mail to a candidate. Having that context is super critical for the AI model to make a good description of a post or to summarize a candidate and their qualifications appropriately, or to put together a good answer to a customer service inquiry. So what you need to do is to think about this thing called grounding, which takes those sources of data, finds the most relevant parts, and provides them sort of as examples embedded into the prompt that is given to a generative AI model so that it comes out and has a better chance of coming out with a really accurate response. So context grounding is something that UiPath offers as part of our AI trust layer, which obviously helps you to bring in that important context, but do so in a way that's trustworthy. Because that's the other pitfall or concern that lots of customers have is, hey, let's make sure that my data is being used only for the purpose that I intend it for. So in our AI trust layer, making sure that your data is always your data and it's not going to get shared with anybody else or used in an inappropriate way is one of the critical parts that we built a year or so ago, because we knew it would be so critical for using AI the right way for this grounding.
Yeah, I'd love to double click a bit on that, because I've heard this concern expressed. And initially the concern was simply that your data would somehow migrate outside of your company, you would lose control of it and with all the risks associated. And I believe that's been relatively thoroughly addressed, but there's a secondary concern that I think is a more subtle one, which is, while your data may stay inside your instance, the learning and the insights from your data become trained into a general purpose AI, and ultimately those learnings migrate outside of your organization. So even though the AI is protecting your data, you're still leaking insight about the secret sauce and the processes of how you do your business. How do you protect against that?
Yeah, so the guarantees that we offer through the AI trust layer extend to include what you just described, which is, you know, you're not going to learn from that data, and the learnings that you gather from that are going to be applied and fine-tuned to the models that are used in your particular instance. But, you know, the truth is that there are a lot of different providers for these models, and what we do, what we offer our customers, we make sure that the models that we expose to them through the AI trust layer are ones that adhere to the same sort of principles and governance that you expect for the ones that we provide out of the box. And so we do a lot of that groundwork up front to make sure that our customers can be confident that not only is their data going to be protected, but the learnings are also going to stay within their boundary.
Great. So you all have already thought this through and created the right level of assurance around that. That's outstanding. We hear a lot of terms thrown around: machine learning, generative AI, and of course, automation. And your company is positioning itself at the intersection of all those. Can you talk a little bit about how they're the same, how they're different, and ultimately how you're combining them into something that's a really compelling value proposition?
Yeah, so our platform makes use of AI in a way that's, the principles are that it's open, that it's flexible, and that it's responsible and trustworthy. The way that we do that is, you know, you asked about machine learning and natural language and these other techniques like generative AI that are new. What we are trying to do is to help customers stay on top of that, because it's every other day. It seems like there's a new model that comes out for a new use case. A lot of these models, the foundation models, are becoming more commoditized, and we're focusing more on smaller models that are more efficient, that are more accurate for different particular domains. And it's hard to sort of stay on top of all of that. So our approach to that has been, first and foremost, I mentioned bringing in the right context. So that's important for any model that you use, whether it be knowledge-based articles or policy documents or API sources of critical data. Doesn't matter what type of AI you use, you need to have that. So that's the first key ingredient. The second key ingredient is sort of model flexibility. And the way that we think about that is, there are two kinds of models that are important to think about. There's the sort of more generic foundation generative AI models that are trained on the internet data. They understand language really well, lots of languages really well, but they don't necessarily understand yours. So what they're really useful for is summarization of documents and summarization of text, also the generation of text and generation of messages that you can send. So it's really good for things like understanding emails and documents and generating messages and doing translation and transcription, things like that. But they're not the best solution for some of the more critical decisions that need to be made. So if you're trying to do invoice processing, one of the very key processes for people, or you're trying to look up an employee's application for a job, you want those answers to be very, very highly tuned, because you don't want those mistakes to creep in. You need something like 99.9% accuracy for an invoice. You need to make sure that you get the address right for the candidate and the phone number right for the candidate. And for those, we support something called specialized models. So that's more of the supervised machine learning is the term of art for those kinds of models, where you show examples of your data and you allow the machine learning models to get better over time. And so our platform is open and flexible, so you can plug and play whichever are the right models for you. But there will be certain cases where you want a generative model. There will be other cases where you want a specialized model that is more finely tuned to your data or to your use case. And so we have an industry-leading IDP solution, which stands for Intelligent Document Processing, that helps you pick the right ones, the right model, that helps you fine-tune those models over time and then build the learning back in. So it just gets better and better as it gets used. The last third key ingredient, which is probably obvious, is the action part. So you can't do anything with a smart model unless you can actually put it into action in context, right? So sometimes that means straight through processing. If the model's very confident, you let it go through. But if it's a big invoice, you know, it's over 10 grand, or it's a critical decision, like you're ready to go offer, make an offer to a candidate, you don't want AI to be doing that. You need humans in the loop still to be develop trust in the system, but also to make those critical decisions. And so, you know, the third key ingredient for us is that actionability thing, for which, you know, we're building that into very deeply into the platform, so that you can be really confident that only the right decisions are being made by AI and others are being made by people that you trust.
I've heard that now being spoken about quite a bit, that the future is not replacing people with AI. The future is replacing people with people who really understand how to utilize AI.
That's right. That's well said. I think that it's a very interesting future that we get to look forward to, where AI will start making more and more of these types of decisions. and become, they have a higher degree of agency, which is why people start talking about agentic AI, where more things get automated. And for that future, it's absolutely the case that people who know AI are going to succeed. And the people who are less likely to succeed are the ones who aren't able to effectively put it to good use. And definitely organizations are struggling today with making sure that their employee base is upskilled and trained appropriately on how to use AI, when to use AI, and some of the pitfalls that they can fall into.
Can you say a little bit more about agentic AI and then how specifically UiPath is combining that with RPA?
Yeah, so there's another good analogy that Daniel has used before and I'm very fond of, which is sort of a left brain, right brain kind of a thing. So in evolutionary biology, you know, humans have come to adapt such that, you know, your left brain is more of a logical sequence of things where, you know, you're really, it's about rules and policies and following guidance that is really appropriate for certain types of decisions. And where AI is more creative, more probabilistic kind of thinking. And both are appropriate. So you think about like any task that you're trying to do. And, you know, if you're doing something new or you're doing something creative, you need that right brain to think about and do the planning, to do the sort of higher level cognitive functions that your prefrontal cortex thinks about. But there are certain low level things like, you know, if I'm going to go buy something at the store, I do the planning to figure out what the grocery list looks like, to figure out what the meal is I'm going to create. But once I'm ready to go buy those things, like I'm going to get my car, I'm going to go pull out my wallet, I'm going to go put the things in the cart. I'm not actively thinking about that. I'm not being creative. I need something that is much more deterministic when I go and pay for the groceries. I need sort of robotic thinking when I'm doing those kinds of tasks. And when I'm doing the planning activities, I need more gray matter. I need more agentic thinking about that. And so, you know, when you're doing work, there's these two kinds of thinking that are necessary. What we're doing is trying in UiPath to support that is we're going to try to provide a way to build, we are going to be the best platform to build agents. Why? Because we have the context, the right models, the right actions, but we're going to wrap that in workflows that have this deterministic capability. So where humans are going to be in the loop for the things that matter. And for that, sort of, we're sort of talking about agentic process automation, where yes, there is definitely a role for AI to take certain types of activities, but you want to, in order to instill confidence in the organization, to instill confidence in each and every user, you want that, to wrap that in something that is rules-based and deterministic so that you can monitor it, so that you can intervene if necessary, and you can make sure that it's following policies, procedures, and governance framework that as a customer is important. And so we're going to let people build those kinds of agents with humans in the loop on top of our platform.
So if someone's listening to this and gets really excited about starting to experiment, what would be your advice? Where do they start?
I mean, you can come directly to uipath.com and get going. If you're a citizen developer or a power user looking to get started on that, if you're a developer, that's a great place to start. You can create workflows immediately. As an end user, we offer some tools that puts a taste of this. So I don't know if you know this, but Clipboard AI is a tool that we put out that's using some of the best of our models in AI to help people basically make it, copying data from one place to another, making it easier is copy and paste. So, you know, if you've got a document, a PDF with an employment letter, or you've got an invoice that you get and you want to just put that into SAP or you want to copy it into Excel, we make it as easy as like one click and enter to copy and paste. That Clipboard AI application for anybody is a really powerful tool that is free that you can use to get your job done better. It won the Time, one of the best innovations last year. We're really proud of that. And it's a great knowledge work tool. And if you're a CIO or you're someone who's, you know, running an organization or a department, you can certainly get a demo of that from any one of the wonderful colleagues I have here, or reach out to one of our partners. We work with all sorts of GSIs, system integrators, that obviously are capable of really scaling out and thinking about doing this for the most mission critical processes, things like order to cash, procure to pay, hire to retire. And if you're thinking about it as a strategic investment like that, those systems integrators and my colleagues in the sales team are very happy to help show you what the art of the possible looks like.
But I think what I'm hearing is that you don't have to think about a multi-million dollar project and a really large scale deployment off the bat. You can start small and demonstrate kind of small but meaningful wins.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, and it's worth, you know, doing a proof of concept where you've got someone who's really motivated to try out some of these things and figure out where it works. Just like developing other good, you know, software systems, that you have to try, test, and iterate, right?
Well, Graham, you spent most of your career close to the cutting edge, if not beyond the cutting edge of technology innovation. Is there something at the moment that you're seeing emerging that you're particularly excited about? Do you think is going to be transformational in a decade or so?
I do. Yeah, there's several. The one that's perhaps most related to what we've been talking about is in the realm of this agentic AI. So one of the underlying pieces of technology that's going to make that possible is the emergence of large action models. So if you think about large language models, they learn from the co-occurrence, like how common it is to see two words next to each other. And because those two words are in a sentence, that's meaningful. Because those words are in the same paragraph, it's meaningful. Because those words are in a same document, it's meaningful. And they learn from that the nature of language. And there's a lot of embedded semantics that's there. There's large debates online about whether it's really semantics or whether it's just a stochastic parrot of what it's already seen before. But if you think about translating that phenomenon into the world of what we do for work, all the clicks that you do to start up a web browser, all of the applications you use at the same time to do a task, all of the tasks that need to occur between us as people to accomplish a process or a workflow, those are all analogous to the words, the sentences, the paragraphs, the documents for how we do work. And so if you follow that analogy, then you think about how you can use some of the same techniques for large language models and apply them to actions that people do and systems do. And you can think about giving agents, giving AI the ability to predict what the next action should be, to plan what those actions should be, to figure out the right steps or the right workflow, so that we can fundamentally come up with brand new insights about the patterns of work and give that to people so that, again, you can be the best version of yourself and perhaps even learn that, like, for this candidate, you've the right way to respond to them based on what you know about what you've done before, what others have done like you. The right next thing to do would be perhaps to send them an email congratulating them on their interview, or to send something back to the hiring manager to say, hey, now's a really good time for you to go reach out to the candidate and thank them for coming in. And those kinds of things, you just think about, like, will delight those users, will delight the candidates, will make that company much more innovative and agile and seem like the right place and feel more welcoming to that candidate. And that'll just change the way that we work in monumental ways. And it's because of those large action models that I think we're going to see that next breakthrough in these kinds of experiences.
That's a remarkable vision. It sounds like the AI will create our to-do lists for us because it knows what we should do next.
At least to partner with us, right? To come up with the new ideas, to remind us that things need to be done. I can't tell you how many things, Hugo, I've asked, you know, folks to do or said, like, hey, you know, we should think about doing this, or can you please get back to me on that? And then they get lost in the ether between people and And it would certainly help with that.
Certainly would. Well, Graham, this has been such a great conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
It's been my pleasure, Hugo. Thank you so much. And thank you to Kelly for being a great customer of ours for the last, I think it's been 6 years almost.
It's been a great partnership. We've really appreciated the productivity gains you all have enabled for us. Now, before I let you go, I'd love to just have a few quick final questions, kind of rapid fire style.
All right, let's do it.
If you had to look ahead 20 or 30 years, what do you think is the biggest change we're going to feel in our lives every day?
Well, I think it would be remiss of me not to say that I think that all of the applications and interface, like the things that we're interacting with right now, are born of an era that was invented 30 years ago, where the nature of, you know, sitting at a desk with a flat 2D surface in front of us and having to type most things and put them into forms that are human readable and computer readable at the same time are antiquated. So I think we're going to see a fundamental transformation, not just in the software that AI helps us do, but also the hardware. And it'll be a much more immersive, much more natural interface that we have between humans and computers. I think that's going to fundamentally change. And certainly AI will be one of the key ingredients for making that transformation possible. As the models get smaller, they get more accurate, they get more power efficient, and you can put them into the edge in a way that will allow hardware to be completely and fundamentally different.
Shifting a little bit more to you personally, what keeps you going when you run into challenges?
So just an interesting thing about me, Hugo, I always find that the fun part is the challenge in between, you know, two different things, and being able to see that, you know, you can apply a solution from one problem might be a good solution to another problem. My background is actually in economics. I wrote my thesis on auction theory, of all things. I always loved applying computer science to things like music and what Radiohead did, you know, 25 years ago to start, you know, bringing electronic music into rock. And it's been fascinating to see where a lot of the most interesting stuff comes from, the challenges that people run into when they get stymied with particular limitations to things. And that art of the possible of, like, okay, knowing what people really want, what systems are capable of doing, and what the right experience is in the long term is what gets me up and excited in the morning. Like, those problems are always the genesis of the next big innovation on something.
Now, building on that, what do you do to unwind so that you're ready to tackle that problem the next morning?
I try to take time with my family. You know, I try to get out into nature, play sports, get out in the mountains, be able to do, and, you know, just have conversations with people from all walks of life with different kinds of experiences. I think it was Jack Ma who said, you can't build great products unless you lead a great life, because that's the thing that we're all trying to do, is lead a fun, fulfilling existence. And so you need to live to know what it is that you're building the technology to do for others or for yourself.
That's really well said. Well, finally, I'll phrase it in economic terms. What would maximize personal utility for you? Being able to breathe underwater or fly through the air?
Oh, see, now that's funny. You asked the question in a way that I can't possibly answer true to my heart. I'm a pilot, so the thing that would be most fun would be to be able to fly through the air. So that's a clear one. But that's not what you asked. You asked what would be the most utilitarian. And I'm not sure I know the answer to that question, but the one that I want to answer is, if I had to pick a superpower, that would be the one.
Outstanding. Well, Graham, it's been a real pleasure. And thank you for sharing the time and sharing all these insights. Very much appreciate having you with.
Thanks, Hugo. My pleasure.
And that brings us to the close of another episode of Resetting Tomorrow. Thank you to Graham Sheldon for joining us today and sharing such valuable insights into the world of AI and automation. I found it fascinating to hear about the incredible work UiPath is doing to transform the workplace and empower businesses. To our audience, thank you for tuning in and supporting the show. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and leave a comment on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you more engaging content. And remember, if you're looking for expert talent or are an expert yourself seeking new opportunities, head over to resettingtomorrow.com. Whether you're pushing the boundaries of innovation or exploring new career paths, we're here to help. Stay curious, stay inspired, and keep resetting tomorrow. This is Hugo Milan signing off. See you next time.
This podcast was produced in partnership with Amaze Media Labs.